Amen. So we think it's very important you learn the concept of tithes and offerings. I heard a minister say the other day, he said, even God wants more. I mean, think about it. He didn't have to send Jesus to reap a harvest of souls, but he wanted more. God wants more. Watch what Genesis 1, chapter 22, or chapter 1, verse 22 says. It said, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Even God wanted more. He could have created two and said, that's enough. He could have created one and said, that was enough. Even God wants more. And thank God that there was more dove and deer, amen, for all the deer hunters and the dove hunters, amen? I mean, you don't go out dove hunting and say, man, I hope I kill one dove today. No, you go out and kill the maximum, don't you? When you go fishing, if you're a fisherman, do you go out and say, I hope I catch one fish? No, you go out there to catch the whole shenanigans, every single one, the whole, what do they call them? Not a herd of fish. A school of fish. That's what I'm trying to say. See, you know, I went to school, by the way. We just didn't learn about fish, you know. I didn't go to vet school. I don't know, can you take a fish to the vet? I don't even know. You can? You take a fish to the vet? Give him more water. I could just hear him saying, yeah, give him more water. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. When it says he blessed them, you need to get a hold of this right now. When he said they are blessed, he gave them the ability to multiply. You have the same blessing. If you know anything about, if you've been going to church here long enough, you understand what the law of the blessing is. The law of the blessing is the same as the law of gravity. What goes up has to come down. The law of the blessing has already been established. God created certain laws. And he says, if you will follow these rules and these laws, not saying religious rules, I'm not talking about religious church stuff. I'm talking about if you will be a sower, you will also be a reaper. But if you're not a sower, then you're not going to be a reaper. You can't reap something you've never sown. You can't sow. You can't go out to the cotton fields and say, man, I hope some cotton comes up. Did you sow any seed? No, but I'm believing that there will be some. It doesn't work that way. God blessed you with the same blessing that he gave the fish and the birds. Because after he made Adam and Eve, he said what? Take care of this garden, be fruitful, and multiply. God wanted more, didn't he? He wanted more humans. He wanted more fish. He wanted more birds. And for you deer hunters, he wants more deer. Amen? You don't kill one buck and say, now that's the biggest one I'm ever going to kill. No, you go out the next season, don't you? And you try to get one that's what? Bigger. You don't go out there and look for one that's smaller. Why? Because you want the blessing. You want more. It is something that God gave us. Now, if you don't believe this stuff, just think about this. Kids, think about kids for a second. Everybody that has kids knows that kids are always trying to multiply. They're always trying to get better and bigger at everything. They even compete for your attention, don't they? You know why? Because they want more. They want more suckers. You go to the bank, they give you suckers. You come to church, you go see Doris. Why? Because kids want more. It has been ingrained. It has already been put in you. You have already been programmed to multiply ever since you were born. When you were a baby, you cried. Why? Because you wanted attention from mom. You needed milk. Amen? You need something. I need more. My friends, you have to have more. You would die. If you don't eat, you die. If you don't drink water, you die. You have to have more. God has blessed you with the same ability that he gave the fish when he was talking in this scripture. He blessed them and commanded them to multiply. He commands us to do the exact same thing. And if you don't believe this and you think you're one of those that gives and never expects anything in return, I'm telling you, you're not thinking right. God does not operate that way. He doesn't say, give to me and I'll never give you anything in return. Our God does not operate that way. Our God is a giver. And he says, if you will work the law of the blessing and you will sow, I will make sure that you reap a harvest. I wouldn't want to serve a God that didn't want to give to us. He is so magnificent that when we leave this earth, he is going to give us things in heaven. The streets are already gold. You will have a robe of glory, crown of righteousness. God wants to give you more because that's the God we serve. Now, he could have made a heaven that just looked like, you know, a desert. You know, it could look like some place in Arizona. Thank God I'm not called to be in Arizona. Amen. I'd have to move to where the trees are. I can't drive through that desert like that and think, man, who would want to live here? And I see houses out there. I'm like, who lives here? I'd be on a golf course somewhere where the grass grows and the trees are and there's life. God wants you to have more. If you don't believe me, read it for yourself. Amen? Don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. Y'all come give a big round of applause today. Amen? Come on up. Come on, kids. Where's all those kids that are singing? Here they come. Yeehaw! That away, wore a cowboy hat and everything today. That's what I'm talking about.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for coming.
Oh.
Jesus okay. Is the Lord.
Cool.
Hey.
So go down to the river. Oh, there's a man. He's walking on.
got one over here doing Ariana Grande. Got another one over here doing Dolly Parton with her cowboy hat. Yeah, thanks for coming, everybody. Glad you are here. You know what? That's how they do it right there. That's how they start. Sooner or later, they'll be preaching, prophesying, all that stuff, you know. Golly. See, when you're a kid, you can't mess up. You can know no words and do just fine. Now, if y'all try to get up here and do that, you know, it might be a different story. All right. Well, with all that said and done, kids, you're dismissed. Youth going out. Youth going out. Kids dismissed, too. With a big round of applause, y'all clap for the kids. Yeehaw. By the way, if you're new here, our pastor, Corey, is traveling. He won about $4,000 yesterday, so at the rodeo. So he's traveling, ministering, rodeo, and doing all that stuff. And he was in Rapid City yesterday and won first place in the average and placed second in two rounds. And then he came home to come watch Seth at a junior rodeo. I think it's his first junior rodeo, so he had to drop his truck, his SUV off the airport yesterday so he could come home. So he came home late last night, and he's already on the road again. So so he's out helping Seth and London, the kids, as they rodeo. So if you're new here, I'm the associate pastor. Our pastor travels a lot in the summer, but he'll be back here pretty soon. We pray that he's gone a while so that he can win enough money to make the NFR. So we don't want him coming back empty-handed. Amen? So y'all be praying for him again as he travels and ministers to those guys and wins lots of money. Amen? Winning the money. Got to win the money, baby. Why? Because we want more. Amen? We want more. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I'm going to minister to you today about some very special animals in the Bible. And if you've read all of Proverbs, you've read the same scriptures I have. But man, I got some real good revelation yesterday. I was reading some study notes and stuff from, you know, you see on the internet and stuff. Because how many of you know, just because you're a preacher don't mean you know everything. You know, you don't know the whole Bible. There's all kinds of interpretations. Everybody gets, there's thousands of revelations you can get from reading scripture. Tons of it. And I just wanted to read and see what some people thought about some of these scriptures, because you know when you read these, we're about to go over, you're going to see the wisdom in the animals that we're talking about, but you're also going to, I found some revelation yesterday that was like, man, I was like, man, I never thought about those four little scriptures the way that that person interpreted them, and it makes perfect sense in that one particular area as it relates to these scriptures. So Proverbs chapter 30, if you're taking notes or if you're writing down the title of this message, it's Faith and Wisdom. Faith and Wisdom. I've been preaching on faith for quite a while now. I'm going to put the two together. Faith and wisdom, a strong duo. And faith is one thing. Having wisdom is another. And you've heard me say this before, that if you use your wisdom in life, you won't, so that you don't get in bad situations, you won't have to use your faith to get out of it. Amen? So if you use your wisdom correctly, you won't have to use your faith to get out of a situation that you got yourself into because you didn't have wisdom. Amen? So wisdom is very, very important. It can change your whole life. It can change your financial status. It can change your job. It can change your career. It can change your family. It can change you. It can change everything about you. So wisdom is very important. As you walk through life, do the best you can to obtain it. The Bible says it's more precious than rubies, more precious than silver. Proverbs chapter 30, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal." Man, them names, I wish they'd have just said Bob and John and Bill. But these guys are all, you know, they're Jewish, you know, so, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing them right, but That's what I'm going with. Amen. Verse 2, surely I am more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? So this is a man. So when you see these words, the first thing you think of is probably an atheist. Only an atheist would say that. A Christian doesn't say that, because we know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. We know who sent his son Jesus to die for us. We know that God. We know what he's capable of. We've seen him operating in our lives. We've seen what he's done for us. We've seen what he's done through us. These are the words of a man who doesn't know God. But you have to also consider, you will never know a person that you have never conversated with. Anytime someone gets saved, they have a situation where they sit down and they say, Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. When I got saved when I was 12, I was a little kid. I didn't even know what a whole lot about salvation. All I knew was that there was a God and there was a Jesus, and he wanted to save me. When I got saved, I walked up to the side, because I went to the Baptist church. You know, we had the altar, we had this podium, then we had an altar across the front, then you had the little place you could come up and kneel, and then you had a little kneeling place where you could, go up and pray, and then the pastor would pray for you. I went down the farthest point on the wall, which is over here, and I walked down the side over here, and I came over right over here about where Louisiana is, way over here, and I said, God, man, if you're real, and I just got down on my knees, I said, man, if you're real, I don't even know if you want me to do this. He was like, you silly, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't even know if you want me to do this, but, if you're real, I want to be saved. So I did. I got saved, got dunked in the big, the Baptist church, you got the big tub, the fancy tub with a little scenery behind it, Let's all go down to the river. That's where we went. I always went to the place that looked like a river, had a painting on the wall of the river. And I got saved because I had a conversation with the Lord, and I didn't even know. I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was till I went to a Bible study when I was going to a church in Leander when I moved down here. Before we ever started coming here, before this church was even existed, they were having Bible studies, and I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know. I'd heard about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't know that he dwelt with us. I didn't know he was right here. All those times that I walked in sin when I was younger, and I always had this conscience and this voice telling me, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this. Guess what? In that Bible study that day, I figured out who that voice was. I'm like, so that was you telling me all that stuff? It wasn't my guilty conscience? God's like, no, that was me. I was the one telling you, don't go there. Don't do that. And every time I do it, over and over and over, like an alcoholic or something, you keep going back to the fridge for one more. Keep going back to the cooler for one more. God was like, don't do that. Don't do that. If you'll listen to me, I'll bless you. Don't go there. Don't do this. You will never know a person that you never have a conversation with. You will never know Jesus or the Holy Ghost until you want to have a conversation with him. You will never have wisdom until you want to have wisdom. Sure, you can have worldly wisdom. Everybody says, there's people of pride, they say, I got lots of wisdom. I don't need God. I'm smart enough. You might have worldly wisdom, but you don't have eternal wisdom. And there's a huge difference. Because the eternal wisdom will tell you how to operate in the law of the blessing and teach you how to prosper so that you don't have to use worldly wisdom and brownie points and all that stuff, and you have to go around behind people's back talking about them so that you get your way. Just because you have never seen God or seen his miracles does not mean he doesn't exist. Just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean he doesn't exist. Now, God sometimes will do situations. There will be miracles he performs. People be on their deathbed. You've heard the testimonies of people that were not saved and died and went to hell. And the doctors declared them dead. And they came back to life. They experienced hell. God gave them an opportunity to experience hell before they had to absolutely go there forever. Why? So that they could come back and tell their testimony to other atheists and tell them about hell and tell them they're on the wrong path. Verse 5, it says, verse 5, chapter 30. Every word of God is pure. If you read the Amplified, it says, every word of God is tried and purified. Every word that God has ever spoken can be tested with fire and be proven true. He is a shield to those who trust and take refuge in him. He says, add not to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. This applies to the people that justify bad behavior. Because there's a lot of times people that don't go to church, you know, they're all the ones that say, you know, I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites, or they just want their, all they want is your money. And so I said, convenience stores want your money too. Amen? Everybody wants your money. Everything on earth is bought. Even Jesus, when he died, bought you with his blood. Everything on earth is paid for. You buy everything. You can't walk into Sears or Lowe's or Home Depot and say, I want this, I'm taking it. No, you got to pay for it. Comes with a price. Don't add to or justify bad behavior. As I mentioned last week or a few weeks ago, I don't know, about these churches that are sympathizing with bad behavior known as sin, and saying it's okay to be your, you know, you can be homosexual, you can be gay, you can sin, you can do whatever you want, you're fine. You believe in Jesus, you're fine. That might be true, and you might go to heaven because you believe in Jesus, but you're going to live like hell, and life for you is going to be hell. It is not going to get better for you. Churches that justify sin and say it's okay, or they sympathize with that kind of behavior, are the same churches that are going to answer to the same God that we do. They're going to be held accountable, just like we are. If I preach the wrong thing, I'm going to be held accountable. If you preach the wrong thing to your friends, or you try to tell them something that ain't the Word of God, you're going to be held accountable. So you better know. That's why the Bible says study to show yourself approved, because you're going to have to be approved. You're going to stand in judgment just like everybody else does. Let's turn to verse 24. Now watch this. I'm going to go through these creatures that live on the earth. And ever since I read this scripture when I was a little bitty kid, I started looking at ants in a totally different way. I always used to think those ants were caught, you know, and they'd have that food, you know, like where I lived. We always fed oats to horses, and we'd always see those ants carrying oats, and I always like, well, I'm like, man, those ants are stuck to those oats. So I'd step on them, and they'd drop them. I'm like, oh, I saved that one. And they're like, you idiot, quit stepping on me. Trying to get this oat down to the storage bin. Verse 24. It says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So when you look at an ant bed, I'm, whether you've read this scripture or not, you're never going to look at ants the same. I still look at them the same way, through the eye of a gasoline can. I stir it up with a stick. Them suckers sting you, huh? Amen? Same way with them scorpions. Ain't nothing to make you jump out of bed faster in the middle of the night than a scorpion. Ah! Feel like Satan got a hold of your feet or something. First point, if you're taking notes. Whether weak or strong, always be prepared. Prepared for storms, unexpected, overwhelming. Storms are unexpected. They're overwhelming occurrences. Ants go gather food and they take it. Have you ever seen that? I think they did, it's on YouTube or a documentary, where they had poured some silver something down into the ant mound of the, like some South African ant. There's an ant in Africa, and their ant mound is like gigantic, and it goes into all these cities all over the place. I mean, it's an amazing discovery. They like poured something down and crystal, I don't know, they crystallized it or something, but they made it solid where they could dig down into the ground and experiment and look at the wisdom of the ant. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, it was aluminum or something like that, some silver or something. But those ants, they prepare, like down in the earth, they make, you know, cities and different pathways to different places. Why? Because they're preparing. When you look at the creation of man, what God has made, there is such amazing wisdom and knowledge that goes into every single animal on planet Earth. Every animal. They are prepared for storms. They are prepared for drought, which is seasons of lack or downturn. How many of you know the economy doesn't always stay perfect? Now, if we can keep it going, that would be amazing. But sometimes there's downturns. Historically, it has been proven that ever so many years, there's downturns. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it happens that way. Why? Because man is in charge. Anything man's in charge of can fail. Even our government. I don't care who you voted for. Even government can fail you. Government, man wrote the Constitution. As amazing as that document is, our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, an amazing document. The best document on the planet as far as I'm concerned. But it still can fail you because man is put in control of it. You have to be prepared for resistance from an enemy when you are succeeding or trying to progress in life. When you are trying to progress and you become the so-called Jesus freaks and you become the ones that become tithers and you become the ones that don't hang out in those places anymore, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be back talk. There's going to be backbiting. There's going to be people talking about you. Because why? Because you chose to change. There's going to be resistance. You will have resistance for the rest of your life. I don't care if you're the biggest tongue-talking, prophesying evangelist on the face of the planet. There's going to be resistance. You're going to have to learn how to fight. Spiritually, you're going to have to learn how to fight devils. You have to be prepared for storms, drought, and resistance. Verse 26. The conies, now I had to look up these because I had no idea what these things were. Now if you read several different scriptures, it'll tell you, it says, okay, so this one says the conies. I'm trying to remember the Horix. It almost looks like one of those little rock badger. That's the other term I was looking for, the rock badger. There's different terms, but it's when I looked it up, they compare it to like a rabbit. You know, it belongs maybe to the rabbit family or something. He's a little bitty, almost like a giant hamster. And they live, you know, over there, and they live in the rocks. Now watch what it says here, verse 26. He says, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. They're smart, aren't they? Not very big. You know, they're not going to be able to fend off a wolf. But number two, whether weak or strong, you got to know where to build your home. You got to know where to build your home. Build your home with wisdom on the rocks. You know how many people don't know what a good foundation is? You know, I think it's funny. You know, there's some people don't know the difference. There's, you know, especially these younger people who look at their phones all day. Amen. Don't know the difference between a concrete foundation and maybe a pier and beam foundation. And if you don't, you know, I lived in a pier and beam house growing up. And I thought it was funny the other day, and somebody put on social media, somebody said, there's this, you know, kid, you know, holding up his fist and saying, we're going to take over the world. And he said, your generation couldn't start a lawnmower. We're going to take over the world. How are you going to mow your grass? Amen. You know how many kids don't know how to get home because all they ever do is look at their phone? You could probably drop your kid off in the middle of town and some stranger could pick him up and say, hey, I'll take you home. Where do you live? Fortnite? Isn't it called Fortnite? I don't know. Is it the new game? They wouldn't know how to get home. Heck, all I ever did when I was a kid was look out the window. That's all we had. We sat in the back window. Rolled up in the back of that, you know, T-Bird or whatever we drove. And we laid in the back window. I knew how to get home. I knew how many stars it took to get home. I knew where the moon would be located. Whether weak or strong, you've got to know where to build your home. Now, it says a lot about these rock badgers, these conies. It says they look out for each other. They never stray farther than 150 feet or so from their home. They know not to leave home base. And we've got to learn that too. I'm not saying don't go out and, you know, experiment. I'm not talking about the world part. I'm talking about the spiritual part. There's too many of us that leave home base too many times. And we end up in left field. Because we don't know where home base is. We don't even know how to get there. There's more to this than just being saved. If you're new here, there is more to being a Christian than just being saved. That's the first step. The second step is chewing on the sirloin. Amen? And learning God's word. And living God's word. Not just talking it, but living it. Build your home with wisdom on the rock. Build your home with faith. Trust in the rock. And even if you're weak, be smart. Because even the weak can be successful. Because, you know, you could have nothing and still be smart and still be successful. That's why I tell my kids, you've heard me say this several times, I tell my kids every time they leave the house in the morning, be smart, make good decisions. Don't be a stupid kid like I was. Don't hang out and be the guy that's watching so somebody can put super glue in the teacher's chair. Because guess what? You're guilty too, amen? Be a thinker. Be a learner. Be smart. Even if you're not bold in something, you can still outsmart the enemy. I mean, let me tell you something. The devil was, you know, he's smart, but he was really stupid. Considering that he was the archangel in heaven that led praise and worship. Trying to think that he was bigger than the God that actually made him. That'd be like a chair telling you, you know, the chair that you made, that chair telling you you're stupid, you're an idiot. What are you thinking? Who do you think you are? I'm better than you. Know where to build your home. Watch this, verse 27. It says, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands. If you're taking notes, watch this. Are you able to advance when no one is leading you? Everybody's always got to have a leader. Now, I'm not saying leaders are bad. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about order here. There has to be leaders. But are you the type that's always looking for somebody else to fix it? Are you able to progress when there's no one there to lead you? Do you always have to have somebody hold your hand? Even the locust. Now, when we see a grasshopper over here, we might see them in the backyard, you know, chewing on some grass or, you know, your plants or whatever. But over there where crops are, if you go like to maybe in Kansas or wherever where they have all these crops, you see swarms of locusts. And they go like this. They cover the land. We was out here one day. I ain't never ran like I ran out here one day. I ran the 40 in 4.5 when I was in college, but out here I probably ran it in 4.3. And 20 years later, a swarm of bees come flying over the church, and I could hear them, and I was like, and then the buzzing went, and it got a little bit louder, and just, you know, big. And I was looking around, and I was like, holy smokes. I can hear them, but I can't see them, and that's the worst part. A swarm of bees, and they were just probably just bees just migrating. They were traveling over our church, went over the arena, and Corey was with me. I turned and looked, and I said, run, bees! And I was like, the tank is like 250 yards away. I'm like, we're going to the tank, baby. They weren't after us. They were just traveling. And I can guarantee you, from here to there, it was 4.3, 40, I promise you. Them suckers. Scaring it. I'm like, why can't y'all migrate without buzzing? Why y'all migrate? Get out of here. Because I love your honey, but if you threaten me, you're dying. Amen? You're going to die. You have to learn to be bold even when you're confused, when you're lost or alone and abandoned. You ever felt abandoned or helpless? You ever felt like you had somebody with you, then all of a sudden they just left you alone. They were like your partner, somebody that just leaves you and says, it's over, I don't want to do this anymore. Faith and wisdom can get you through it. Faith and wisdom. Even a grasshopper who has no leader knows how to go forth, knows how to go and feed itself, knows how to stick with the other grasshoppers. We have to do the same as Christians. We've got to stick to home base. We got to stay close, like the rock badger. We got to go forth like the grasshopper. Verse 28. Now, when I read this one, there was different interpretations. When you see the word the spider, it was also can be interpreted the lizard. So I don't know if there's like a lizard over there that's called the spider lizard. I don't know. I can't tell you. But there's multiple interpretations. But in our Amplified, it says the lizard. But let's read the King James. It says, the spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. And as I was reading yesterday some testimonies, there were some great revelation on this little bitty spider or this lizard, whatever you want to call it. Even a spider or a lizard, which is easily captured with the hand, little old, you know, just like those little gecko lizards you see roaming around in moist places around your house under wood or something, under boards, easily captured with the hand, easily destroyed if man chooses. Small enough that it can't lift a hammer to build himself a house, he still knows where to dwell. In king's palaces, which is where we're supposed to be. Now, if you were to interpret that as a spider, if you were a spider, how big would your web be? And here's another interpretation or another revelation. If you're a spider and you build a big enough web, guess what? The king is going to bring you some food. Do spiders go out looking and hunting like lions do? They build a web, and they wait for the food to come to them. And these do it in the king's palace. How many of you know that in the king's palace, that them flies are probably some big old flies? They ain't hungry flies. They eat the best food. Every varmint, every pest, every living thing that's in the king's palace is healthy, full, and prospering. Amen. Do you know where to dwell? Do you know that in the king's palace is where you belong? And if you're religious and you think that you're not, you know, you have to live broke because God wants you broke, and you've been told your whole life, if you're new here, and you know, you maybe you've gone to those religious churches, I have, And they've never talked about money. They were afraid to talk about money. They're afraid to talk about sin because they're afraid somebody will get up and leave. We've had people leave here many a times. But I would rather tell you the truth and let you live with it than to lie to you and let you live with it. Why? Because we belong in the king's palace. We don't belong under a bridge homeless with nothing. We belong in the palace. Even the spider or the spider lizard knows where the good stuff is. They know where to dwell because God made them to look for a place to dwell. Every single animal on this planet dwells somewhere. Lions are on the plains. Why? Because that's where the antelope is. Spiders dwell in crevices. Why? Because that's where the bugs are. They know where to dwell. And it is amazing. Look at God's creation. Every spider weaves a different web. And I am amazed how they make those little target webs, them great big ones. And they just weave that sucker just like an architect building a house or a framer framing up a house. The wisdom, the creative wisdom and knowledge that God gave every single creature on this earth. And we have authority over all of them. Even for the creeps. Amen? Even over the creeps. We have authority over every creeping thing, even the creeps. Amen? Even the human creeps. Now, let's go back to verse 15. I want to go through a few things right quick and show you some revelation on this. Verse 15. I'm going to start in the middle of that scripture right there just because the first part doesn't matter. It's not relevant to what I'm talking about. It says, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yes, four things say not, it is enough. Now, when you see that, you have to understand what he's about to talk about. He's about to give you a few things that are on this planet that never say, that's enough, I don't want any more. Watch what it says. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith, no more, it's enough. Does a fire ever say that's enough? Does the earth ever say, quit raining? I got some good revelation on these few scriptures yesterday. Think about the grave. There is enough dirt on this planet to bury every single person that exists on this planet. The grave will never say, it is enough, no more dead people. The grave will never look at you and say, I don't want you. The grave is waiting for you. The grave is waiting for your time to expire. The dirt of this earth never looks at you and says, I don't want you. You can't go back to dust like God said, because we're all made of dirt anyway, amen? He said, you know, the dirt never looks at you and says, you can't come down here. They can't bury you here. The barren womb, watch this. The barren womb never says it's enough. You know why? Because they've never had enough. Someone with a barren womb has never had children. But think about this. The barren womb never has a birth date. Never has an expectant date of delivery. Now think about this. Watch this. Barren wombs are also people with no dreams, no goals, and no ambition. And a lot of barren wombs are people that are not willing to experience labor pain. Well, that's pretty good right there. You know how many people are afraid to go and do because they're afraid of the pain or maybe someone talking about them? How many of you have ever, this is a rhetorical question, how many of you ever have had no dream? Have you ever got to the point in your life where you said, I don't even know why I exist. Why am I even here? Depression never looks at a human and says, I don't want anymore. Depression will take everything you got to give it. It will take every bit of your misery and never say, that's enough, I don't want anymore. Barren wombs have no dream. They have no ambition, they have no goals, and they don't want to experience labor pains. Labor pains come with a little bit of growth, growing pains. Barren wombs usually walk in fear because they're afraid of the unknown. Think of the fire. The fire will consume as much as you're willing to put on it. Satan will never get enough of your sin. He's never going to look at you and say, all right, that's enough. You sinned way too much. Hold on. Whoa. You really went overboard this time. Hold on now. Wait a minute. I had a kid tell me that one time. God, it's so funny. When I was coaching middle school kids. He was over messing around, said, you keep doing that, I'm going to make you do push-ups for the rest of the class. Well, guess what he did? He went over and kept doing what he was doing. I said, all right, get over here, and let's start doing them push-ups. He said, hold on, now wait a minute. He wanted to plead his case. I'm like, the case is closed. Satan will never get enough of your sin, ever. And he will pursue you. As much sin as you want to put on the fire, he'll be like, bring some more, and bring some more, and bring some more. The fire is willing to burn whatever you're willing to put on it. Watch this. Go to verse 18. Now, when I read this, I've read these scriptures many a times. And I had to go and read some testimony, some commentary on what some people thought about it. And there was, again, many interpretations, but there was one that really caught my eye. Watch this, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Now watch this. If you're taking notes, don't leave a trail, because the eagle in the air, the boat in the ocean, think about a serpent on a rock. Now, you can find a serpent if he's on the dirt, but if he's on a rock, you'd never know he was there. Too many times, we have left crumbs for Satan to follow. We keep leaving a trail because we won't change our minds. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, the old is passed away, and behold, all things become new. When you become new, you stop leaving the crumbs. You're supposed to quit leaving the crumbs. But what happens is we get saved and we keep dropping crumbs, or we keep dropping like they do when you go scuba diving. They have a rope, and you're supposed to hold on to that rope so you don't get lost. Because if you get lost down there, you're done. You may not ever come back up. Christians keep leaving crumbs with their mouth and their behavior and their actions, and Satan keeps pursuing because you keep feeding him. That's pretty good revelation right there. You keep throwing down breadcrumbs, he's just going to keep eating them. And he's going to keep pursuing. Why? Because he sees that you're not willing to do the new. You're not willing to let the old go away and let all things become new. The eagle in the air, the ship on the sea, the serpent on a rock. Eagles are the most magnificent beings on the earth. The testimony behind an eagle and the way God made eagles and the way that an eagle lives, you could apply every single aspect of an eagle's life to yours an amazing, amazing creature. They soar when the storms are coming. I mean, that's a simple revelation. Here comes a storm. I want to fly. I'll just fly towards the storm. Don't let the storm pursue you. Fly towards it. And let it take you up this way. Because when you're flying away from the storm, it's pursuing you. We keep leaving trails. And that's why you're still dealing with stuff. It's because you keep feeding the devil. You keep giving him more reasons to pursue than to leave. If all you're going to do is feed him, he's just going to keep growing. And the more he grows, the stronger he gets. And the stronger he gets, the more he overwhelms you. You have got to learn how to starve the devil. You've got to take away his water and his food. You got to quit feeding him all the time with this ignorant behavior. And justifying, like the scripture was saying, adding to the word of God because you don't think it's interpreted that way or the revelation doesn't really read that way. I can still do this and be okay. You've got to starve the enemy. And you've got to turn and face him. Ever been bullied as a kid? Ever had bad dreams because you were bullied? You know how to fix that? You learn how to fight. You learn how to fight in your dreams. And you're having dreams, people pursuing you. My dad has been dealing with some stuff physically, and he's had bad dreams. I said, Dad, you're going to have to start going to bed, saying Proverbs 4. Say, I will lie down in peace. And I will sleep. And I will not allow the enemy to come in and try to scare me. You got to learn to fight even in your dreams. Because if you're running away, they're going to keep meeting you in the middle of the night. And as long as you're not willing to fight, he's going to keep kicking your rear. You got to learn how to fight physically, spiritually. You got to learn how to fight in your emotion. You got to learn how to fight with your mentality, with your mental aspect of your life. You got to learn how to fight. I've had those dreams where devils pursue you. I've seen, you know, I don't know if they were or not, but I've seen what devils look like. I've seen 10-foot tall creatures walking in shadows in movie theaters in my dreams. I've experienced fear in my dreams. And I finally had enough of it. I'm a dreamer. I dream all the time. I don't know why. A lot of people say, you know, it's the Indian blood in me. I don't know. Because they said, you know, Indians experienced that, you know, or they were dreamers. Well, my grandmother was half Indian. Some people don't dream. My mom, she'll tell you, she never dreams. But every time she dreams, she has one dream. And I said, Mom, you've got to get a hold of this. You've got to get the interpretation of this dream. God's trying to tell you something. If you can dream it more than once, I'm telling you, God's trying to tell you something. She sees a barren land, desert, one tree and one rock out in the middle of nowhere. She's had that dream. She said, I don't dream when I go to sleep, but I have that dream all the time. You better get a hold, because I'm telling you, God, if you read the Bible, you know that God can use your dreams. He used it for Joseph. He told Joseph he was going to be the head and not the tail. He was going to be way above everybody. He was second in command to Pharaoh. And God told him in dreams way before it ever happened. Now, I'm not saying all of your dreams are prophetic. I'm not saying that. But there are some times that they can be. And if devils meet you in the middle of the night, you better learn how to fight. You better quit feeding that devil. If you're doing things, let me tell you something. I don't understand why people can't figure this out, but if you have to hide something to do it, that should be your first clue that it's wrong. You know, if you walk out in public and you see somebody that goes to church and then you start hiding something that's in your hand or whatever, or you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, that should be your first clue you should stop doing it. Because you ain't doing nothing but feeding that devil breadcrumbs. And as long as you feed him, he'll keep coming. Satan will never say it's enough. I've got too many people in hell. Hell, you know, hell's getting full down here. We're running out of room down here. He will never say that. He wants the opposite of everything God made and everything God created and everything that God put into the blessing. He wants the opposite of everything. He doesn't want you going to heaven. He wants you in hell with him. He messed up, and he wants you to mess up. He wants you there to experience death, hell, and the grave, and complete darkness, and hell, and fire, and all those things with him because he messed up. Can you imagine falling like lightning? Like Jesus said, when he fell like lightning. Man, that's falling pretty darn fast right there. It must have hurt when he hit the ground. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're new here, or if you've been going here for a long time and you're not saved, I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One thing we never do at this church is leave without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. My friends, that's the most important part of the whole church service. It's not the sermon. It's not the music. It's salvation. Those things just lead you to salvation. If you're not saved today, you're new to this church, maybe you didn't know you had to receive Jesus to be saved. That's what we believe at this church. We're not going to tell you that you can be a good guy and get in heaven. Good is good. You know, it's good that you're a good person. That's one of the laws of the blessing. That's one of the things that come along with the blessing. But the most important thing is that you receive Jesus as your Savior. God loved you so much that He gave His Son for you. And He bought you with a price. And that price was every drop of blood pouring out of His body on the cross. If you're not saved today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're not going to embarrass you, not going to ask you to come up here and recite scripture, not going to ask, you know, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. All I want you to do is pray a prayer with all of us. We're going to pray it with you. And all I want you to do is just be serious about it and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. If you don't know Him, I want you to do what we talked about earlier, about having a conversation with Jesus right now. Don't wait for us to pray the prayer. Get serious now. And have that conversation with Him and say, "Yes, Jesus, that's me. If you're real, reveal yourself to me. I want to be a new creature. I want to be like the eagles. I want to be as smart as the ants. I want to be wise and full of faith and be prosperous and live in prosperity and have nice things and have money in my bank account. I want to live according to the law of the blessing." If you're not saved today, pray this prayer with all of us. Say it like this. Say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, came and died for me and arose again on the third day, and you conquered death, hell, and the grave for me. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name." With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not going to embarrass you. If you receive Jesus for the very first time today, all I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. All I want you to do is just raise your hand on the count of three and acknowledge to me that that was you. I just want to see if there is anybody. On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Is there anybody? Is there one right here? Okay, good. Anybody else? Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to give you a Bible, sir. Is there anybody else? We're going to take this little Bible. We're going to hand you right here. Is there anybody else? Man, I can just feel the Holy Spirit in here, man. I tell you what. There's so much wisdom floating. The spirit of wisdom is here. The spirit of faith and wisdom and knowledge and understanding is here. Get a hold of it, man. I'm telling you, he's here. If you want it, ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened. You want wisdom, ask for it. Ask him. You don't have to wait for us. You can talk in this church. Say, I want wisdom. If you want it, say, I want wisdom. I want it. I want wisdom. Lord, just talk to God just like he's sitting next to you. I want your wisdom. If God's sitting next to you, I want you to just look over to him just and say, Lord, I want your wisdom. I want your knowledge. I want to be smart like the ant. I want to soar like the eagle. I want to be successful. How do I get there? Where is the law of the blessing? How do I get there? I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. Jesus, how do I get there? How do I soar like the eagle? How do I go straight into the storm and spread my wings and fly? How do I face down Satan and command him to leave my house? How do I meet Satan in my dreams at night when he tries to pursue me or tries to overwhelm me in my sleep? Spirit of wisdom is here. It's more precious than rubies and silver. If you want it, you can have it. Want it, you can have it. I'm not leaving till God's done. There's a spirit of comfort in here. A spirit of love and compassion in this place right now. You're probably wondering, what the heck are you talking about? If you know the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm talking about. This is not spooky spiritual stuff. It's not something that you're going to see when you go to a palm reader. This is way better and way stronger than that will ever be. The spirit of love and compassion and wisdom and understanding and knowledge is here. If you need, and you're, like I said, if you're free to leave if you need to, but sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in a church service, and we might stay longer than necessary. So people have left before. I've seen 90% of the people leave before, and three people still get saved when we were done. If you need a spirit, and if you need prayer right now, I want you to come up here. If you need prayer for this one specific thing, if you just need comfort, if you need someone to pray for you for comfort, come on up here. Someone that just needs to pray for you and just say, you know what, we're here for you. Somebody that needs love and somebody that needs just the spirit of love to just overwhelm them. It's more focused on comfort and love, and it's just what I'm hearing right now. I'm not hearing anything. God's not telling me to pray for your money. God's not telling me to pray for your prosperity or any of that right now. It's just love and compassion. And know there's more. I just know there's more that need it. And if you don't come, that's fine. I understand. It's not easy to walk to the front of a church and say, I just need someone. Because saying you need someone is going to take a lot of getting rid of pride and all that and saying, man, I just need someone. I just need someone to just lay hands on me and just say, man, we're here for you. And I don't want to leave until the Holy Ghost is done. And like I said, if you need to leave, we totally understand. Don't be ashamed to get up and leave if you got to go. We're not going to look at you funny because you have to leave church or whatever. We've prayed the salvation prayer. People have gotten saved. There's people that need prayer, though. And I just feel like there's more. I just feel like God's telling me to just sit down right here for just a little bit. This could take 5 minutes. It could take 2 hours. Don't be ashamed if you got to go. I understand. If you got kids and you think your kids are going to be wondering where you are, go ahead. You're free to go if you need to. I don't even think I need to pray for anybody. I think healing's happening right now, and I don't have to do anything. I mean, just to have the confidence to walk to the front and have somebody put a hand on you. Yes, ma'am. You need a Kleenex. We got plenty. They're waterproof. Sometimes I need one. See what I mean? You don't even have to pray for them. Get healed. I mean, what good is it going to do me? Me laying hands on you is one thing. But coming up here and spending time with the Holy Ghost is way more better. Way better than anything I'm going to be able to tell you or say to you. It's stronger. You will experience in the presence of the Holy Ghost things you will never experience anywhere else. And I didn't lay hands on a single person. I just felt God just told me to just sit down and just keep my mouth shut. And you know, healing can happen. It don't have to be in church. You can get healed at home. You can get healed in the hospital. You can get healed driving to your job. driving in your car. But man, when that spirit of love walks in the room, there's no denying it. Make some cry, make some walk with boldness, make some people break down so, you know, into an emotional just outburst of tears. I mean, everybody gets healed differently. And I'm glad y'all got to experience it, because it's something that you can't get anywhere. Holy Spirit's wherever you want Him to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Whew, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.